Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
This is That Story Show, the podcast that can't poop in a public restroom. Hey, podcast people, I'm your host. My name is James Kennison, and I'm the only one here. And sometimes when John can't make it, I don't feel like doing the show. So today, what we're going to do is give you some Patreon member supporting listener bonus content from the last two shows. We do this for two reasons. One, because it's awesome content. And two, we want you to support the show and get the most that this podcast has to offer. The only thing I will say before we move on into it is that we have a little program going for Christmas that I'd like you to be a part of. About 40% of our audience is likely middle schoolers, and those poor guys and gals can't afford or purchase their own membership. So we're doing a drive to try to help some of them out. If you go to patreon.com/thatstoryshow/gift, you can purchase an annual subscription. Send me the link and I will give it away live in your name on the show coming up next week. So far, we have four people that have done this already. So here's the contest. Here's the way you get it. You have to be a middle schooler. You have to email me a story that makes me laugh. Send it through thatstoryshow.com. Click submit a story. You can write it in or talk it in. And the first four middle schoolers that make me laugh, you win a membership. If there's more memberships to give, I'll give those away too. And next episode, you'll hear who got them and who gave them. So this is your chance. If you're a giving person, go to patreon.com/thatstoryshow/gift. Again, buy a subscription and then forward me the link and we'll get it to someone in need this holiday season. Thank you so much. I hope you enjoy the bonus content and we'll see you next week with our bike theme show. Got a lot of good stuff waiting to share with you then. We'll see ya. Have a good one. Hey, how you doing out there, podcast people? This is Stuff That Wouldn't Fit on the Show, where we put stuff that didn't fit on the show. I want to tell you real quick the rest of my story about my wife trying not to cry during my song.
During your song, yeah. I'm glad that you remembered that, because I was like, oh, there's more to this story.
There is. So there is a photo. I didn't see this myself, but there's a photo that they took over my shoulder with her in the background. I'm at the piano. She's standing where she stands and she's looking at me, and I can only say that her face is completely red and she looks like she hates me.
Oh,
it was supposed to be a beautiful photo.
Yeah.
But she is looking at me with this look of pure hatred.
I asked her,
what in the world is going on in this photo? She said, you were trying to make me cry. And if I cried, my makeup would get all messed up. And so I had to hold that face to keep the tears in. And it's just this horrible picture of her.
Is it? Do you have it to share?
I could probably find it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Man. I'll write that down.
Oh,
fine.
That's good. Patron bonus content.
Jen wedding photo. All right. I don't know when I'll get to it.
On the secret. Yeah. Because this is probably buried in some boxes after 28 years.
Yeah. This was before digital.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Our kids ask for photos of us when we were young. And I'm like, because I share photos of them when they were young to them through the thing. And they're like, why don't you ever show us any of you when you were young? I'm like, because they're all in a book somewhere.
They're on film.
Yeah. They're not on my phone. They're not easily accessible. There was no camera phones until that were worth a crap until the last 15 years or 10 years even.
Right on. Dadgummit.
Anyway, I got to find a terrible Jen wedding photo. I can't tell her. Nobody tell her.
Yeah, it's got to be a secret. Wait, is she a patron? She doesn't listen to this part of the show, right?
No, she used to be a patron, but she quit.
Oh.
I know. I don't know what happened.
Dadgum.
But, wow. She quit. She straight up quit.
She did. She got tired of you snoring. That's why.
So I have more wedding stories.
I got a couple too that I was thinking about because I wasn't sure if I'd have any, but I do. I got a couple.
Okay. So do we want to review stories or tell our stories?
I don't know. I feel like we got it out. Unless you want to. Now, I do have a question. Was Sarah on an airplane?
I know. She sent in four stories, and they all sounded like she was driving in an SUV with the windows down.
Ah.
And I love the story. I hate the fact that you can't pull over and roll the windows up and just, you know, dictate it into your phone. So, yeah, I mean, folks, just be mindful that people have to listen to your audio and...
It's a lot of extra work to have to try to.
Oh, and it's borderline impossible. When you filter that hard, when the signal to noise ratio is that even, you have to rip out so much of the original audio that it becomes robot sounding.
Yeah.
It does. So, anyway, nothing against her. She didn't know. People don't know.
Yeah.
But
we're grateful for the stories regardless.
Right. We would have just probably used more of them had we had. Better sound quality. So it's okay. Well, it's all right. Let's just do a story review real quick. Blair's brother barfs up before Blair's betrothal. So
yeah,
that was pretty right on.
He straightforward.
He ate at a really good restaurant. He ate too much grease and bacon.
Mm-hmm.
And he threw
good
up.
Good is kind of.
Oh, wait, you didn't say it wasn't good.
I mean, it's fried greasy food. It's really the experience that you want to go there for.
Oh,
I just think that Blair's brother probably got to enjoy the experience a little better, because it did a hurting on my guts.
Oh, okay. So he got rid of it. He purged himself.
He purged himself without having to, you know, experience the backblast.
That's a good way of putting it, John.
Yeah.
Yeah. The back blast. Sarah shares a story of stranded spouses.
Yeah. That's sad.
That was supposed to be earlier in the show. You saved me, John.
Oh, did I?
Because I skipped over it on accident and it became the last story of the night. So
yeah. Wow. Good. I saw that we went straight into it. And so.
Well, voicemails are just one line. I just write voicemail, then I write the person's name, and then the title of the story. And usually stories, you know, fill up a whole paragraph, you know. That's one reason why I take the paragraph marks out. I put no spaces between paragraphs because I want it to be a big block that I know.
Big block.
And when it's over, I know it's over, and I don't get confused visually. So,
well, I'll stick around for the little details.
Maybe I need to plug in voicemails like three times in a row. Just put three lines of text saying the same thing. Voicemail, voicemail, voicemail. Because I've done that before. But you saved me.
I'd be happy to help.
John and I share a Google Doc, and he typed in voicemail ? And then he bolded it, and then he colored it, and then he outlined it. So
highlighted it.
Yeah. So it was good. It was a good thing.
I write you little notes sometimes whenever you're talking. No, I don't. I might.
Sometimes. Peggy pilfers a presidential penthouse. So I had to use penthouse instead of suite because it rhymed it kept with the alliteration.
Well.
So
I'm kind of curious what that hotel was now, you know?
Yeah.
Was it like a Motel 6 that just happened to have?
I don't know. I think it was one of those side of the road in St. Louis, in St. Mary's in Kingsland. There was a hotel and it was owned by a family, and you parked out in front of the rooms. You walked up to the place, you bought your room, And then you went into your room. And it wasn't fancy. It was fancy when it was built back in 1951.
Right.
You know, and I bet they had a honeymoon suite in it that they put a tub in and some mirrors around or something like that. There's always mirrors for some reason. Those 70s ones that has the brown.
Makes the room look bigger. Paint.
Yeah. Yeah. Those tiles that they can stick up to the wall. Oh, yeah.
Those tile mirrors that kind of like distress a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. They have the brown screen printing on it. So,
yeah. I don't know. I had those in my bathroom growing up.
Yeah, so did we. And shag carpet in our bathroom too.
Oh wow!
And a shag
carpet.
And if you didn't have shag carpet in your bathroom, you at least had a shag toilet rug.
That's right.
And a shag toilet seat cover and a toilet lid cover.
Yeah, toilet lid cover
with a toilet roll. What was it? Cross stitch? Not cross stitch. What did they call that? Where you had the plastic frames and you would weave yarn into it, and it would have a doll sitting on top
like
of
a crochet,
like it was her dress. Yeah. Yep. Anyway.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about those.
Yeah, it's weird stuff.
Conveniently, thanks for reminding me.
I know, it just came on like that. So Edward remembers a recycled Rhapsody. I'm not going to be able to alliterate every week. I just want everybody to know I was in a weird mood and I kept looking for ways to make things
difficult for John to read.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Really ghetto. It's very ghetto to sing a song to two different women.
So like when you were, did you ever write a love note as a young man and then like, give it to a girl and you're like, you know, that was some really good words in there. And then like recycle that.
You sound like you did.
I did.
Cause I never did.
Oh, man.
But in my defense or your defense, actually, I will admit to this, that once I asked a girl out in a certain way, I said, do you have a boyfriend? And she said, no. I said, do you want one? And she said, yes. And I said, how about me? And she's like, okay. And we went out, right? We were boyfriend and girlfriend. Then we broke up and I started liking this other girl. And I said, hey, do you have a boyfriend? She's like, no. I said, do you want one? She says, no. I'm like, how about, never mind.
that's convenient for you.
Yeah. I didn't want to be that anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, I felt so dumb. So I learned early not to recycle crap.
Not to recycle.
You can't do it.
Shouldn't
do it.
Yeah.
But you recycled a love note.
Well, I mean, it wasn't the same note.
Oh. Same words?
But it was the same words.
Okay, yeah. See, I'm guilty then too.
I mean, I think Shakespeare originally wrote it, but...
No, roses are red. Violets are blue. I have a crush. The crush is on you. Please check yes. Do you like me, yes or no?
Dude, I use that one as well.
And you make the yes box really big and the no box with a sad face next to it.
And then if you're feeling like especially you want to give them a way out.
Maybe.
You put the maybe box on there too.
That's when you're feeling.
Kids these days don't have that joy.
No, they don't pass notes. Who's passing notes anymore? Nobody.
Man. Dude.
I don't even know what it would be like now. Total connection all the time. If you got in a fight with your girlfriend, you had to wait till Monday.
Right. Right.
Like when you were a kid anyway.
Right.
And then if you did get in a fight and you were in high school, you had to wait till you got on the phone. And that was if your parents didn't pick it up and say, who's on this phone? Mom, hang up. No, you get off the phone. Who are you talking to?
Nobody, Mom.
Talking to Pauline.
Oh, hey, Pauline. He needs to go.
Okay.
Sounds like that's happened to you.
Yeah, that has. This same woman now is wanting us to take care of her in her old age, and I don't know that I want to. You were really mean to us, Mom. You can't suddenly want nice things. I live 2,000 miles away from you.
On purpose.
On purpose. Tom's bride saved scratch by stealing stems from a stiff.
which was a great recap song, by the way.
Thank you.
Mildly cursed recap song.
It's fully cursed. I mean, I said spread the blood of goats. So
in the yard on the roses.
The cursed white roses filled with red. Yeah.
Fully cursed. The dead woman. I like how Tom mentioned that. It was the dead woman's rose
or
flowers.
I may have edited it to make it a little better.
Oh.
And to set it up for my recap song. A little behind the scenes notes here. Because I figured if it was a dead woman, it probably was, because there was a lot of flowers. A lot of flowers. So I didn't stretch it too far. You know, so it's I had to really take weird. The cursed aspect and make it really cursed.
All the flower arrangements said, "We miss you." Could you imagine seeing that in the wedding? Forever in
that
our
That must
hearts.
Be family members that couldn't have made it, you know?
That worked great.
Just so jacked up that she delivered flowers for a living and said, "You know what?
These aren't going to be used till tomorrow.
I could use my employee discount, or I could get all these for free."
For free.
Oh, my
gosh. Hey, Proverbs 31 woman, she's not playing.
Stephanie's friend finds first aid after falling flat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I tried to get something about, like, hitting the glass, but I couldn't find enough G words, so she fell flat instead.
What was that friend's name? Cammy? No.
Aaron. Was it Aaron? Yeah, it was. It was Aaron.
Yeah, too bad her name didn't rhyme with whiskey or something.
I've seen so many fail clips of people trying to do, like, the I've had the time of my life dirty dancing move at a wedding, and they just topple over. Or they're drunk and they're boogieing and the guy's pants come off, or they're drunk and they're boogieing and one of them falls, but the other one doesn't notice. And so he's still holding their hands and they can't catch themselves. And it's like, this is apparently a world that I don't know anything about, drunk weddings, you know?
Drunk weddings. Yeah. I will say I've been in both weddings. I've been to weddings where they're completely dry and then somewhere they have an open bar and it wasn't a cash bar. And I will say, of the two, the ones with the alcohol involved definitely highlight the evenings a little bit more, because people get up there. And first of all, like, I didn't go to weddings when I was younger that had dancing.
Yeah.
Because it just didn't happen.
Right.
My sisters didn't have dancing their wedding, all that stuff.
I didn't either. Yeah.
But when there's music and alcohol and dancing involved, it just gets a little crazy.
Forget about it. Yeah.
Forget about it. That's right.
Man. No, we had punch. We had a punch bowl. So, and keg. We did like little snacks and dinner mints and stuff. We had a very low budget wedding.
Yeah, same.
Like, I think her parents chipped in a little bit and we paid for everything else.
Oh, wow. So that's awesome.
Yeah, it was very low. Sarah, we already said, Sarah shares a story of stranded spouses. That's pretty sucky, actually. The guy thought he was done. He's like, I made my $150, you know, or $400 or whatever it cost. We didn't have no limo either at our wedding.
Same. And we just, I don't know how we got to where we got, but... when you're reading the story, when she was telling the story, my brain automatically went to like a stretch limo.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, how in the world did the guy not know there was no people in the back there? You know, usually they have the little divider and all that stuff. But, I mean, he had to open the door to let them in. But then, you know, I was thinking, oh, okay, this is
recent. He just thought everybody was in there, including the bride and the groom.
And they should stop calling party buses limos, because that's, you know, basically what it was. It's a party bus. He just didn't have the bride and groom on it. How was he to know? It was a perfectly honest
mistake.
How
do you know it wasn't a limo? She said it was a limo.
Yeah, but like a limo has got such a broad term these days. It could have been like a big, massive
SUV.
I
thought you were putting that on her shoulders. I was like,
No, it's not her fault.
If it's got two poles in it for you to dance on, it's not it's a limo. It's a party bus. We see them around the city all the time. People come into the city to get drunk and party, and then they go back home to the county where it's safe to live.
They just want to party in the city.
Yeah, they just spend their money here and then they go back out. But yeah, I've seen all kinds of things.
You could probably start like a service, like a party bus for the suburbs.
No, I'm good. They don't want us out there. If I loaded up an inner city group and took them out to the suburbs, we get pulled over every 5 miles.
That's part of the excitement.
No. Some of the stuff they say about cops is true. So,
what do they say?
You know.
Yeah. That's not. What about our stories, James?
Okay. So, my wife and I got our wedding license, right?
Yeah.
Well before the wedding. And
like you do. Yeah.
The deal is, you're supposed to bring it with you, like dude said in his story, so that the pastor can sign off on it after the wedding.
Right.
And so we get to that point and I'm like, I don't have it. I don't have it with me. And my brand new bride, who was under so much stress, and I understand completely now what was going on, but she was livid.
Mm.
She was livid. How could you forget that? I said, I couldn't find it. What did you do with it? And it took a while. Her bridesmaid, her best lady or whatever, was trying to calm her down. And it turned out that Jen was going under the understanding that we weren't really married until that thing was signed, like before God. And she said, the bridesmaid's like, Jen, before God, you're married. You made your vows. You're fine. Everything's going to be great. You can go and get this taken care of when you get back. And she kind of chilled a little bit, but I will always remember the pictures that were being taken while this fight was going down, because they were taking ring photos of our hands overlapping.
Oh, wow.
Showing our rings. And it looks like a lot of love was being shared, but there was absolute hate and angst and awkwardness going on. Fast forward. Come back from the honeymoon, start to move my stuff into the apartment. And there's this box that kind of falls open in a folder. It was a book, actually, a book about wedding benefits and stuff. I don't know, but it fell on the floor and out of it slid. No. Out of it slid nothing, actually.
Nothing.
Because I almost remembered it wrong. she's like, that. We got that when we got the marriage certificate. Maybe the marriage certificate's in there. And we went through and flipped through it. And no, I do have it right. I just have the timing wrong. I moved into the apartment before she did. So she's helping me move into the apartment before the wedding. Okay, so we're not fast forwarding, we're rewinding.
Yeah.
And inside this magazine that fell on the ground was the wedding certificate. It didn't fall out. She picked it up. She said, we don't need this. And she threw it away.
The wedding certificate?
Inside a magazine. She threw the magazine away with the wedding certificate inside. We realized it afterwards. I said, you threw it away and I got in trouble. And it's all your fault. Ah! And so, yeah. So I didn't do anything wrong.
So in the wedding photos, your hand does look like it's being squeezed a little too much. There are veins popping out of her hand.
There's no blood.
It's a beautiful photo.
But it's slightly, mildly cursed. So.
Mildly.
Dude, she was so upset. It was the most stressful day of her life. I know her now.
Yeah.
I know her now. And anything like that has to be perfect. And if it's not going to go perfect, it's going to go all the way out of the line. And so she was just so stressed that we were just sinners. And I was like, I didn't do anything wrong. And as it turns out, there was no way I could have had it, even if I had remembered. So,
Well. Amy was completely not stressed.
Really?
Like she had been stressed up and to, but the morning of it, it's like it just melted away. Cause like she's getting married. There's nothing else she can do about it.
Yeah.
But I was stressed.
Okay.
And this is one of my stories here. So, I procrastinate a lot, and I was responsible for putting the wedding bulletin together.
Oh,
you know, like it's nothing like they do these days, you know, where it's all fancy and all that stuff. It was just a stupid bulletin.
Yeah. Folded in half, 8.5.
Folded in half on nice paper. And, you know, but I hadn't written it yet. Hmm. And so the morning of our wedding, I'm writing this stupid thing.
I don't feel sorry for you for being stressed, by the way.
All the people were. And I'm like, I'm printing them out because I worked at the church we got married at. So I was printing them out while, you know, stuff was going on and photos and all that stuff. And I had them delivered down there so that the bridesmaids could fold them. Yeah. And I'm all like, this is going to be terrible. She's going to be ticked off. And she's like down there chilling out and whatever.
Wow.
Because, you know, we're very traditional in the fact that we didn't see each other.
Yeah, we didn't either. We did that same thing.
Yeah. And so everything, I was thinking she was going to be stressed because I thought, you know, that's what brides do. They get all stressed and cranky and all that stuff. I know my sisters were. But so I'm waiting for her to walk down the aisle. This is, you know, a little bit later. And I'm like, she's, the door's open and she starts walking down the aisle and I'm about to start crying. But she's so laid back and easygoing. She sees people, family members that she hasn't seen. She's all smiling at him and waving and stuff. And it's like, oh, I don't think I'm going to cry after all. I'll hold it in.
Because she was supposed to be looking in your eyes the whole way down.
She's looking me in the eye. And we're just
she stops and visits a little bit. Hey, Granny, I haven't seen you in years. Yeah. Hey, you know what? I got something going on. Oh, I'm getting married. I better go.
Yeah, I'll talk to you after the wedding.
I'll see you later. As soon as I get through with this.
Yeah.
It's so funny. People spend so much on their weddings now.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
It is. It is. And you know what? I understand, you know, it's like for the parents.
I don't understand it at all.
If the parents want to do that, that's fine. But like if I were having it to do over again, totally would have taken my father-in-law's recommendation to elope and take the cash. I would have done that.
Yeah, because a marriage is much more important than a daggum wedding.
Than a wedding, that's right. It's good. You should put that in a book.
Yeah, I should. But people spend so much money on their weddings and the dress and the cake
the
flowers and the freaking photography and all this stuff. And then they don't stay married.
Yeah.
Because so many marriages end in divorce now.
You can't get a refund on that stuff.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I don't know. Just be careful, guys. Here's the thing. Here's my rules. Don't marry somebody that you've known less than a year. Okay? That's rule number one. I think that's a good rule. It's an easy rule. Secondly, don't marry somebody until you have seen the gamut of their emotions. And I'm talking about you've seen them happy, you've seen them sad, you've seen them lose a job, lose a loved one, you've
get
seen
angry.
Them sick, you've seen them angry. You need to know what they're like. Get to know their parents because they are going to be a lot more like one of them than you would ever imagine. Yeah, they might look like one of them, but they're going to act like the other one. I'm just telling you.
Wow.
And then lastly, I would say do not shack up because the odds are against you when you shack up. That's
true.
One, you're never going to get married. And two, if you do, you will get divorced. So I just feel sorry for women that have been at girlfriend status for 8+ years. Waiting for some dude to marry her, had kids and everything, but can't make that commitment? That
right.
What does that say about you that you're not worthy of him? You know, he's getting all the perks. Why can't he put a ring on it? You know what I'm saying? So anyway, that's my 10 cents. John, do you have anything to add?
You know,
we used to be pastors, so we could say this stuff, you know?
Yeah. I would add in maybe that, since we're getting serious,
premarital counseling.
premarital counseling is definitely good.
Read some books.
Make the decision beforehand that divorce is not an option.
Absolutely.
You know?
That's what Jen and I did.
Yeah. And after you do say the I do's, don't throw that word around. Because right. The more you get used to saying that word and thinking of it as an option, and then it becomes one.
Yeah, because you're only saying it to hurt them anyway.
Yeah.
Secondly, I'll add some more stuff. The Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And people take that out of context. Sometimes you need to separate and sleep it on it and revisit it in the morning.
Yeah.
I know people that live religiously by the we can't let the sun go down on our wrath. It's meaning don't stay angry for long. It doesn't mean literally that you can't be mad past evening. Okay. Separate, go in different rooms and sleep and get up in the morning fresh. And you'll find the argument doesn't mean nearly as much once you've wound down a little bit. Let's see.
No,
what was the other one?
After 10 p.m.
Learn how to communicate. Yeah, don't bring up anything after 10 p.m. You're absolutely right. Me and Jen to this day go by that.
I got that from you, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, because we don't talk about anything big after 10 o'clock. And lately, she likes to bring stuff up at 9:30. And I'm like, can I deal with this tomorrow? Because if it's absolutely necessary, I will deal with it now. But I would much rather deal with that tomorrow when I'm not almost dead tired.
Yeah.
And she pulled that on me last night. But the other one is learn how to communicate. And there is a great book. It is a pop sci book. It's so dumb, but it works. Read the first couple chapters. It's called Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus.
Yes.
And if you can get
good.
The
it's
basics. Yeah, it's older. But if you can get the gist of this book and the silly premise and get the truth behind it, it will change the way you communicate with the opposite sex. Mm-hmm. It will let you know why your wife gets mad when you offer help after she asks you to help her.
Yeah,
and you will, right. And it will help women. It will help you to understand why he gets mad when you try to give him advice from the bottom of your heart that you intend to do nothing but good for him. And he gets mad when you try to help him. It will help you to communicate the way that they want you to communicate. Oh, because we are from two different planets.
It's true.
Oh,
that book changed my perspective on so much.
Yeah.
That's John Gray, I think, is the author.
Okay.
So it is a little older, but.
Matter of fact, if you're getting married, I will buy you that book.
Yeah.
I will Amazon it to you because seriously. But
and I'll give you premarital counseling.
Yeah. John's done that before for people that listen to this show.
Yeah.
You married Chris and Alita, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have an NLCast baby that's like freaking 10 years old now.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. No. Okay. So my wife didn't marry me at our wedding.
What?
I know it sounds weird, but when it came time to say the vows, our pastor was Jamaican. Okay. He was a white man, but he was Jamaican. He was raised in Jamaica and he had a thick Jamaican accent. It was the weirdest thing.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
It was very cool. He would say, how are you doing, Jennifer, James? How are you doing, bro? Yeah. And he's just this white dude. But anyway, he got his words twisted. And when he said, Jennifer, do you take this man, John, to be your lawfully wedded husband? We kind of looked at each other and our eyes got big. And she said, yes.
She said, I do.
She said, I do.
Take this man, John.
Take John Kinnison. I was like, that's my stepdad? My dead stepdad's name? You married my dead stepdad. So
Was he past at the time?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Man. How did he get that name?
Maybe not. Maybe not. You're right. Because me and my mom stopped talking after that for a long time. So she wouldn't have come to the wedding.
Mm.
She was on the front row of the wedding with a picture of my dead father in her lap.
Oh.
So weird. It's like he wasn't there for my life. why would I want him represented in my wedding, you know?
Right. Did wasn't she involved in making sure that he wasn't part of her?
I didn't know that at the time.
Oh.
I still blamed him completely. I didn't know that she had thrown him out. And
wow.
Yeah.
Well, dang.
Yeah.
Well, I'm about to make it awkward.
Okay.
It's a terrible segue, but so we got married, right? And we head off to our honeymoon. So our first night that we stay as married couple, which just so happened to be the day before Easter. Fun fact. We stayed in a bed and breakfast. I didn't know this about bed and breakfasts.
They're haunted.
You know, actually, it's bed and breakfast in Sonoya.
They're all cursed. Yes.
I didn't know. It was a lovely place. It's still in business and everything. But this older man and his wife ran the place, and it was so great. And he just wanted to make sure that we felt welcome and stuff. And so I bring my bride up into the room, and he escorts us in there. And then he starts turning the bed down.
Oh gosh.
And he's telling us all the stuff about the room that we're staying in, and things are available, you know, go down the hall and get a drink if you want it. And, you know, and I'm like, ah, you don't have to do.
He probably does it for everybody though.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was so, my face was all red and I was embarrassed.
What does this even mean?
Yeah. Why are you turning the bed, the covers, and pulling them with the pillow? I don't know. Well, I'm going to take a nap on the couch over there is all I'm going
to
do.
Yeah, we're not up to anything.
Yeah. And so like, it was like an afternoon wedding. So like it was before, you know.
It wasn't even dark.
It wasn't even dark. No, I mean, I won't get into details or anything, but it was just so awkward. And then the next morning, we're supposed to have breakfast with all the people in the bed and breakfast, because that's what you do. And they wait for you.
Yeah.
They don't start breakfast until everybody gets down there. And we were a half an hour late.
John.
Half an hour. And these people are just sitting around, and they're all sweet, wonderful people. They're like excited for this new married couple.
Who wink, wink, nudge, married. Nudge. Yeah.
And so, so we get down there. I'm like, oh, you're all waiting for us. You didn't have to wait.
Oh, I bet you were so embarrassed.
So they're all looking at us when we sit down. And then the sweet man who had turned down our bed the night before or evening before, he presents this, it's called a tussy mussy. It's something that they did in Victorian weddings. It's just basically a little thing of herbs and stuff. And I don't know.
A tussy mussy.
But he's like, oh, we have a new bride with us this morning. Both of our faces are now turning red.
Right.
And he's like, makes this great presentation about what this tussy mussy thing is. And he presents it to my wife, and everybody's like, oh, clapping. I'm just like, oh, I just want to die right now. But I didn't. And then we had a very wonderful breakfast, and then we headed off to our honeymoon location. So,
ever feel like your WordPress site is moving in slow motion? Switch to Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress and watch it fly. Host your site on Google Cloud's fastest servers with worldwide data centers, so your pages load instantly. Need help? WordPress experts respond in under 2 minutes and will migrate to your site for free. Try it yourself. First month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Okay, so the tussy mussy is a doily that is packed with posies and different shapes and materials, sometimes silver stuff.
Yeah.
And it can be worn at the waist, in the hair, or secured with a brooch. But the original term for this thing was the nosegay.
Yes. The nosegay. And it was because way back in the day, people stunk, right? And so you put all these herbal scents into a little bouquet.
And it made your nose happy.
It made you could smell it. I believe that he even went into that definition or explanation when he was making this presentation to my wife.
Thank you, Internet.
Yeah. Thanks, Google.
All right. So our wedding, we were very traditional. Okay. There was no creativity in weddings back then. There was no YouTube. There was no Instagram wedding. It was just your wedding. And you did what was done, especially in the South in Georgia. So we came down the aisle to the procession and we went away with the wedding march and all these different things. And we had a unity candle.
Yeah.
For those of you that may not know, if you're too young or whatever, it's something for the moms to do, you know, because the dad gives away the bride, the moms come up and they each have a candle and they light them and they hand them to you, you know, each of their kids. And then you guys go up to a bigger candle that's usually pretty fancy and you together light this candle of unity, symbolizing, you know, that they pass the flame on to you and now you're joining your lives together. So we get up there and we push our candles into the wick to light it and it won't light. And so we push it in there a little more and I'm like, okay, we need to melt some of this wax away from this wick. So we held it there and giggles. We start hearing giggles from the audience, especially my sister Leanne, you know her.
Oh yeah.
She can't keep straight face to save her life.
She's probably,
I was like, now it's melted. It's still in the way. So I reached up with my thumb and I swiped away the hot wax to get the wick out. And we tried to light that and it wouldn't work. But this unity candle holder had two little candle holders. So we eventually just blew out our candles, put them down and went on with the rest of the wedding. So Jen's, you know, mad about me. She's upset about the marriage. She's very upset that that unity candle didn't work because she paid money for it, you know?
Yeah.
So we go to start tearing down because we tore down our own wedding. And I picked up that candle. And on the bottom of it was this 2-inch wick.
Oh, no.
Somebody had put that candle up there upside down.
Oh, do you think they did it on purpose?
No.
Okay.
No, because the parents put this wedding together, or the mom, and she is not a joker at all. Jen's mom takes this stuff very seriously. So nobody did that on purpose.
Oh, man.
It was just one of those things. So,
did you ever light the unity candle?
I don't know what we did. We probably still have it in a box somewhere.
It's next to the photo.
We still have the knife that we cut the cake with.
Oh, do you use it?
No. We still have her wedding dress packed up in a freezer box or something. They did that sealing, press and seal, freeze dry type of thing. Yeah. So, my daughter is not interested in using the gown. But she is interested in trying it on when she gets married. So,
okay.
My wife is a lot shorter than Jenna. So it should be an interesting look.
She can wear it as a cocktail dress at the rehearsal dinner or something. Yeah, there you go. Oh. Amy still has her dress. We never had any daughters, so I don't know what's going to become of it. But we have
I'm sure there's an idea on Pinterest somewhere.
I bet you we could probably sell it for a lot of money.
I bet you could.
Because it's like vintage now, 25 years.
Yeah. Somebody might be looking for one just like it. On Etsy.
Only worn once.
Or Marketplace. So we got a couple stories.
Ah, yes.
Alex Thompson writes, "Hey guys, Alex from Savannah checking in to give you a wedding story for the show. And just so you know, I tell people when their stories are going to be on the bonus content. And I encourage them to become trial members, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
So that would be nice. But if they don't want to, I do send them a copy of the recording.
That's nice.
I'm a nice guy. Yeah. So my wedding is going perfect to plan. And I was in charge of a big surprise for everyone. My family has a Scottish background, and we thought it would be amazing to have a bagpipe player play Amazing Grace for when the grandmothers came down the aisle to sit down. So I made the connection, and I called the piper to see if he was available, and he said he already had a wedding earlier in the day, and he had that wedding and reception, but he could do our wedding if it was just the ceremony. And I told him one song and you're done.
Oh, so man.
That was all I was in charge in for the wedding day, was to get the piper from his car behind the church, in through the back door and up to the balcony, so he would be hidden until the bagpipes started to hum like bumblebees. So this was a surprise.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it sounds like a green flag kind of guy. So there I am waiting behind the church for him, and pre-cell phones, I don't know if he's going to make it or not. But I see him park and get out of, in his kilt, and he looks almost like a leprechaun.
Oh.
He gets his pipes from the trunk and makes his way towards me, and about 20 feet from me, the strong stench of Scotch whiskey overwhelms me.
Oh, no.
Then he speaks, and I found the source. He is sauced.
Oh.
He is drunk as a coot. How did this man even get here in a vehicle? And how in the world is he going to play Amazing Grace?
Oh, no.
Well, I can't stop now, so I pay him. I would say I'd pay him afterwards. But anyway, I take him inside. I get him all set up, and I'm scared to death that he's going to pass out before we get to the grandmother's coming down. I'd be afraid that he was going to pee on himself. But
I'm a Scot. Don't yell at me.
So I tell my dad the situation. He says, don't worry. Scots do most things better with a little whiskey.
Brave words, son. Brave words.
Also, who can ever tell if a piper is on key or not? It's true.
It's a good point.
So I'm at the altar as the doors open for the grandmothers, and those pipes go off like a beehive has been hit, and he plays the most beautiful Amazing Grace you have ever heard. Not a dry eye in the church. The crowd cheers at the end, and he gives a little bow from the balcony. So I never saw him again. I still don't know his name. I still wonder, however, he got home that afternoon. I hope this makes it on the show. Alex Thompson. So
I played me pipes for you. It was great. Now give me my money.
Oh, gosh. All right. We got one from Karen in Indiana. My husband and I got married in 2000. And that's very brave, because that's when the world was going to end. Remember, the computers were going to destroy us all. Y2K.
That's right. I guess she figured, well, we didn't die in the Y2K virus, so might as well get
married.
If
it doesn't work out, the Y2K bug will get us. While the wedding itself went off without a hitch, this story is about a mean Canadian and how he almost ruined our honeymoon. I didn't know there was such a thing.
Mean Canadians. That sounds like an oxymoron.
I don't want to read the story in case we get somebody in trouble. What if somebody from Canada hears this and they go back and track this person down?
How dare you be mean?
Somebody's
honeymoon. On their wedding day.
Yeah.
You're out of here, eh?
My husband planned our honeymoon. He was a missionary kid. And as a young adult, it wasn't uncommon that he would travel for work. So he had done a lot more traveling than I had ever done. And he was confident navigating airports and rental cars and driving around in unfamiliar cities. I was perfectly happy to let him take the lead on this trip. He wanted to take me to Lake of the Woods in Canada, where his family had vacationed once or twice when he was younger. And it sounded great to me. And since I'd never been to Canada, I was really excited. Remember, this is 2000. And at that time, you didn't need a passport to get into Canada.
Right.
My husband, having traveled so much, had one, but I didn't. And we didn't think it would be that big a deal if I didn't get one. I was planning to take my birth certificate along to prove my citizenship. But in all the hustle and bustle of the wedding planning, I completely forgot it. I can relate, because I forgot some stuff too. I realized it when we were at the airport, but then we weren't sure if we'd have time to rush back to the apartment and get it and still make our flight. We were told by some airport worker that probably my driver's license would get and be enough. Looking back, probably. The airport worker's lack of confidence in the advice should have been a red flag. So we departed Indianapolis. We had a layover in the Twin Cities, and then we were on our way to Canada. When we landed, of course, we had to go through customs, and my husband went first. The Canadian customs agent looked at his passport and waved him right through. I stepped up to the counter, handed over my driver's license, and this man, who had defied all stereotypes of nice Canadians, glared at me and said, "This is all you've got?" And I nervously replied, "Yes." And he said, "Well, this doesn't cut it, young lady. All this tells me is that you're licensed to drive a motor vehicle in the state of Indiana."
Oh.
So I'm standing there trembling, looking at my husband, who is safely on the other side of the border, and fearing that he's going to have to go have a great time by itself on our honeymoon while I'm handcuffed and escorted by Mounties back across the border. The customs agents finally had pity on me and growled, "Well, fine. I'll let it go this once, but next time, make sure you have a passport."
Wow.
I was ever so grateful that I got to join my husband for our honeymoon. Oh, man. And on the return trip, I was able to show my voter registration card, which in the U.S. which the U.S. customs agent found sufficient enough to let me back into my own country.
Wow.
I do have a passport now, and I will always make sure it's current in case I decide to go to Canada again. Karen from Indiana. So, Karen.
Wow.
Karen. I don't mean to cast stones, but it's kind of your fault, not the Canadians, isn't it?
Well, he was kind of rude.
Yeah, but border guys are known for this. They probably had to do a survey and find mean Canadians and say, you know what? You tested very poorly on the Canadian test. So we have a perfect job for you. You're going to scrutinize Americans as they cross into our borders.
And so, you're going to love it.
And you're going to love this job. You can either be a dentist or you can be a border crossing agent. So customs agent. So those are the two jobs for mean Canadians.
Border control or customs.
Or dentistry. That's the two.
Dentistry.
Yeah. You like giving people pain? We have a job for you. Two jobs. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, no, I know we live a post 9/11 life now, but yeah, still got to get that passport there. I do think it's funny that she laid down that license and he's like, that doesn't cut it. All this tells me is your license to drive in the state of Indiana.
Yeah. Which is not a place in Canada.
Just put some salt in that wound. Why don't you? Oh gosh. It is nerve wracking when you go out of the country. It's not that bad, but coming back into America, our guys are hardcore.
Yeah.
They are very hardcore. And you get nervous. Like, am I going to be able to go home?
Can I? I
get
here.
Really scared. I'm like, it should be like high fives and welcome back. Here's a hot dog, you know, but it's not like that at all. We got pie waiting for you right around the corner. You know, it should be.
Yeah.
But this guy stopped me and he looks over my stuff. He asked me all these questions and I thought I was finally done. He said, wait a minute. What's that on your shirt? What does that mean? And I looked down and I had a printed t-shirt on that was a joke, but in the wrong context, it looked like a pirate type of shirt because it was the red eye or the red circle of doom. What, the red eye of death?
Red ring of death.
The red ring of death. From an Xbox 360, but and then it had two crossed red bones underneath it because it's the red ring of death. And I had a choice to make and I had to think on my feet because what am I going to tell him? Oh, this is the red ring of death. And he would say, excuse me, get in here and tell me about your weird religion and your freaking terrorist links to the red ring of death. What kind of ring is this?
Gloves.
Yeah. But I said, I quickly said, because I am kind of quick on my feet sometimes, I said, oh, it's a gamer thing. And he said, oh, okay, bye.
Okay. Like, oh, it's a gamer thing.
Yeah. So I saved the life I saved was my own that day.
And that's fair enough.
Oh, well, thanks everybody for listening. Hope you enjoyed your bonus content. John, I always enjoy these times together. Just letting our hair down and talking a little off the record, you know, and being able to tell stories.
Cuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tough.
Yeah. I feel like we should probably start a partnership with, marital counseling, maybe. I mean, we both have pretty good track records.
That's
so
true.
Far, so.
That's true. I'm 28 years and you said you're coming up on 27.
Yeah.
Yeah.
27.
We're working on 30, both of us.
Wowzers.
I know.
And
right?
My wife still likes me. So
I know.
So I might be doing okay.
My wife loves me too, most of the time. So, we're about to be empty nesters in 2 years, dude.
Oh, dude. I got four. Well, three and a half.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We don't know what to do with ourselves. I mean, we're having a great time together. Our dates are great. We're spending lots of time together, but we don't want to stay in the city and we don't want to stay in our house. So,
yeah,
but we're kind of waiting to see where the kids settle.
Yeah. Well,
we'll see. So
you might be there for another 5 or 6 years.
We might be here forever. Cause Jen's predicting she's going to marry somebody from St. Louis and settle in around the city. And then we'll just move out to the county and that'll be fine. That'll be great.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Let the grandkids come out and wait, that's way down the road. That's way down the road.
Not that far. Not that far.
I know it's possible. It could be next year, but
cause my daughter wants to have 5 kids.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I don't know why.
5. Where'd she come up with that number?
It's just something she said the other day. She's like, I want to have 5 kids. And she'll do it.
Ah.
She'll do it even if she changes her mind halfway through. She'll do it because she said it.
I said I'm going to do it and I'm doing
freaking
it.
Freaking having 5 kids. Well, I always told them, I said, either have 3 kids or have unlimited kids. And they would be like, why? I'm like, because in a regular car, you can fit 3 kids side by side in the back seat, you and your husband. If you have one more child than that, if you have 4 kids, you have to buy a minivan or something, an SUV. And by that point, you can have up to 8.
Yeah.
So have 3 or less or have 4 more. But don't just have 4 kids because that's a waste of money. So she wants to have 5. I think that's where it came from. My bad advice, my stupid advice. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening. I hope you enjoyed our main show and our after show. Thanks to Alex and Karen for sending in the bonus stories this week. And I hope you enjoyed your content and will consider supporting the show on a regular basis. 15% off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't get mad at us, patrons. It's the first time we've, I think, ever done a discount. So,
wow. Well, they had that free thing a little while back, but I think that's Patreon doing that, right?
Yeah, but you don't get any perks. You just sign up and you get a 7-day free trial.
Oh,
but
okay.
then it goes to nothing special after that, except
gotcha.
That you're just signed up. See, they're trying to manipulate people into becoming signed up so that they think it's a half step into becoming a full member. And I'm like, I don't want to promote signing up for Patreon.
Try it free for 7 days.
Well, I do that. I mentioned that. I don't mind that because that's a legitimate offer. You know, try it for 7 days. It's real. But come sign up for what? So I can trick you later into becoming? No, I want it to be authentic and organic. So, yes, I mention it. But I'm not gonna twist people's arms or whatever. So sneak people into it. Oh, you're already a member, so become a paying member. No, either do it or don't. I'm cool with that. Either way. All right.
We love you regardless.
We do. And we'll see you next week. God bless. Have a good Thanksgiving because we won't be doing a show next week.
That's right.
That's right, John.
A good one. Enjoy your turkey.
Enjoy it. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, guys and gals, welcome to Stuff That Didn't Fit on the Show, where we put stuff that didn't fit on the show. I'm your host. My name is James.
And I'm still John.
That's right.
Do I say that every week?
I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I need to reintroduce myself.
I know that we just got finished with the show and we introduced ourselves, and some people forget quick.
Well, okay. I've heard that there are people that have listened to the show for years. And they've never seen our faces. They've never looked
God
us up.
God bless them. They probably have a really good image of what.
Well, I don't know what it would be, but because they'll write in and say, you look nothing like I thought you would look like. And I assume they mean the both of us.
Well, I know.
I wish somebody would draw a picture of what they thought we would look like based on our voices.
Oh, man, that would be awesome.
And then we could compare, you know, what do we look like we sound like? You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so that's cool.
That's the first type of people. And then there's people that have seen our pictures but reverse us, and they think I'm you and you're me. So that's why I feel the need to say more than once a show, Hi, I'm James.
Yeah, and I'm John.
Yeah. So,
and together, I feel like we should have a tagline. And together,
we're that store show.
Oh, there we go. That's way better than what I was thinking, actually.
Yours was probably fine. What was it? What was it going to be?
I was going to say together we're the sons of thunder, but See, that's kind of already taken.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's good. It's a different kind of thunder in our case, you know. They were just boisterous men, you know. You take care of the thunder around here.
Yeah, I guess
so. It's a little sly word for fart. John farts a lot, and I'm going to tell you guys something. He saves it up for after this, because after we get off of this, I think we're done, right? But we talk, and he farts, and he looks at me through the camera to see if I heard it or not. And
I thought the noise canceling.
Sometimes I don't hear it because the noise canceling cancels it out. And I'm very happy about that. And he is not. And then other times I look at him weird and he doesn't even have to ask. And he just starts giggling.
Look, if.
So this is what I deal with.
For farts to be funny, he would have made them all silent. I can't help it. It's just the sound.
Yeah. No.
It's the most inappropriate thing. Did you see that video? There's a video floating around on YouTube or somewhere that somebody's singing in church and it's a real vocal. And the lady pauses and you're. It's so funny. Whoever's shooting the video knew that was going to happen.
I have seen a video where there's these cats laying around and they're being filmed. What is it like the Predator where it's heat mapped?
Oh yeah,
and they fart, and you just see this apparently body temperature, you know, waft of gas float out from their butts, and that's disturbing.
Gross.
Yeah, you know, and it is disturbing because I was in a restaurant the other day with a guy that thought he would sneak a secret vape once in a while. And I can't stand these people. Okay. It's like smoke outside. I don't care. But the problem is that your vape shows me how much of your breath moves around the room.
Oh, that's a good point.
And some of it comes over to me. And I don't want to know this. I don't want to know that we're all breathing each other's air. Because if we were all vaping, we would all see the cross-contamination, right?
Yeah.
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 And so I think it's really gross. I don't want to see your vape. I don't want you to do it because I don't want to breathe your air
in your lungs, and I don't want your lung air to be in my lung.
My
air.
Point is though, when people fart, how far is that going?
Like if you can smell it, then it's definitely.
Yeah, because you can't heat track that. I was trying to think of how would you track it? And it would have to be by smell because it's going to cool to room temperature almost immediately.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it's going to float around and it's going to attack people's nostrils. And I don't want to think about it, but it is true that every time you smell a fart, you're putting air in your body that was in somebody else's butt.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That ain't that's funny to me. You're laughing
in your face,
but that's gross.
It is. Gross.
I don't even like gross. Sharing toilet seats with the public.
With the lounging crapper.
Yeah. Dude, what the heck is up with that guy? I did find out who it was.
Did you?
I did. And he's a good guy, but he's got this thing, apparently.
You need to ask him about
it. He just lounges. Like, hey, I got to get to know him better first. I'm just going to.
I noticed that your feet poke out from underneath the stall when you're in there.
Yeah.
How does that work?
And it ain't like he's tall. He's shorter than I am. He's lounging. You know, I would think the poop would hit the front of the seat and slide down the front of the bowl, you know? Like you got to center it. You're dive bombing, man. You got to get it right there over the hole is what I've always kind of shot for. I think that's what they're designed for.
Maybe he's got a relocated
rect
output. Yeah. It's like okay. In the middle of his back.
So he has a tail is what you're saying. And that butthole is right up underneath the tail. He's got a cat butt. So he has to squeeze down to get that thing centered over the toilet. Now it all makes sense.
I mean, maybe you thought him heard him wiping, but it wasn't really that. He was actually covered.
he was scraping kitty litter.
Oh man.
Dude, I can't ask him about it now. What if he does have some sort of tube that's reached?
That's
you know, maybe he has a butt transplant. Condition. You know, I don't know. Can't be asking people stuff like that. I would have to know him for years.
You'd have to, yep.
Like he would have to bring it up. He would have to open the window, the door to that one. You know, it's kind of like talking about Jesus to somebody. It's so much easier when they start the conversation, when they open the door, when the time is just right, when the Holy Spirit's just there doing the work for you. And it's the same way when talking about somebody, how they sit on a toilet. You can't just do that. They got to be like, oh, well, you'd never guess how I sit on a toilet. And I'd be like, well, how do you? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you for leading this conversation.
Thank you.
I was so curious.
I've been wanting to know for years. Really the only reason I've been hanging out with you is to answer this question.
Yeah. But now I feel like I've really grown with you, so we can still be friends.
We can still be friends. Why you sit on a toilet like you're lounging, like it's a Barca lounger?
A Barca lounger?
Like it's an anti-gravity chair, you know?
Oh, yeah. Barca lounger.
That's the 70s, man. Those big old giant overstuffed recliners that had the handle on the side that you could lean all the way back. They're the Barca lounger. Yeah.
I always called those lazy boys.
Well, that's what they were called later in life. But I was born in 1973, my friend. I have memories of the 70s.
I remember that name, Barca lounger, but I didn't know. How do you even spell that? I want to Google it now.
I don't know.
Barca lounger. Barca. Hey, dude, BARCALOUNGER.
Barca lounger.
I found it. And James, they still have Black Friday sales on some Barca loungers.
Wow.
So,
how much are they running these days?
This one at Coleman Furniture is going for thousands.
Really?
Let's see. I just flipped over to the wrong. Yeah, this one has swivel and
that's a feature.
$1,709. It must have like something else in it too.
Come, that's high end. That's why you've only heard of Lazy Boy. We were poor kids.
That's right. We couldn't even afford Lazy Boy.
Dadgum Barca Lounger. Sean dies. Yes. I must have heard about it on Dallas, you know, when I was sneaking episodes of Dallas.
I think that story that came to us, what was it, Alex?
Yeah.
No, Louise. Yeah, Louise probably had a Barca Lounger with all her fancy.
Mm.
No, wait, that was the one that beat up the. Who was it that had all the fancy words? Was that Louise?
Yeah, that was the one that was dad's was chasing the bat. Yeah.
He jumped out of his Barca Lounger.
And just for the record, I think it was a dude.
Louis?
Yeah.
Oh, dang.
I don't know. But he talks about a battle cry and bat over his head and he calls it his sister. I don't know. I just got a firm idea that it was a dude, but I don't know. I guess gender's wrong all the time. All the time.
Yeah, well, you know, it's
one of those gender indistinct names. So could have been anybody. Let's review our stories. A listener from Ireland tries to hire a spider. You know my feelings on spiders. They need to die.
Yeah.
So,
first of all,
yeah,
I'm just, I love that we have a listener in Ireland.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
I hope I didn't offend her with my crappy Irish accent.
Mine was worse. And I told her story wasn't funny. So.
Oh, you did not.
I did. I said, I guess this is funny in Ireland.
Oh, well, it made it on the show. So ring that bell in Irish.
What would you have done had you been in my shoes and you were watching Skeleton Crew, the new Star Wars show, and you're sitting in the dark watching Skeleton Crew, and a spider hops on your freaking finger from your body, what would be your reaction?
I would not have made eye contact with it first.
I felt it and saw it move.
Like, they got eight eyes. I would have avoided all eight of them. And then I would have flicked that thing across the room so fast.
That would have been good. At least I would have known it had been far away. But I did. I hit it. And sometimes they'll ball up and they will go unhindered. You know, they won't be hurt. And that's why I had to get up and do the shake and bake, because
where'd it go?
The squiggle dance, like I had a spider in my hair or something, you know, because I thought he might have still been on me. I can't have a spider on me, man. Can't
no. Do it. Yeah, I'm not. I'm so, like, when I was younger, did a lot of Boy Scouts stuff, and we would hike through the woods in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those spiders, they
wolf spiders,
build
dude. Massive webs. Massive, yeah. You could catch a freaking toddler in one of them.
We would grab a piece of stick while we're hiking through the woods, and we would wave it in front of us.
Right. Right.
And by the end of our hike, we would have like cotton candy on the end of the stick with, you know, spiders crawling around it.
Right.
It was so great.
Dude.
So great.
And we grew up a part of our life on 3.5 acres, and it was cleared. Half of it was cleared, but we would ride our bikes through the trees.
Oh, man.
There is nothing like catching a wolf spider web right and square in the middle of your forehead.
Especially when you're going fast.
Oh, and that thing's crawling on your face, and you're blind because you have webbing in your
And you're like, I gotta ditch this bike.
Yeah,
but
you just drop. You drop to the ground, and you just mash all over your face, and you
pray that wolf spider doesn't sink its fangs into your head and suck your brains out.
So terrible. Those jokers were 3 inches along, if they weren't four. I don't know.
Did you ever have the banana spiders in your area?
I don't know.
We called them banana spiders, but they're called orb weavers. They're like a garden spider, but the back part of their body looks like a banana.
Ooh,
it's yellow
I've
and
never
everything.
Seen that.
Oh man, if you want to have a nightmare, maybe do a search on banana spiders.
Because I know the further south you get in Florida, the more tropical and dangerous the wildlife becomes. And you were in Central Florida.
Yeah.
I lived in St. Pete, but I was close to the beach. Beaches and spiders kind of don't mix, but
yeah,
we would get ticks. That's what we would get. We got an infestation of ticks, but there was this black mold that was growing along the ceiling in our living room. And I got up there to clean it. It was ticks.
Oh,
thousands of ticks. They climb trees and they drop down on deer and squirrels and crap. And that's how they suck their blood. They're climbers, and they had gotten into the house, climbed up the walls, and had just festered up there in the corner. And so we killed them, and we had to pick them off our dogs. It was just so ridiculous. So next year I was ready for them, and I got some bespoke soap flakes and spread them all over the place. I hired an aphid to oversee the whole operation. So, So
bugs are bad, and you gotta think. You know, she was trying to get those aphids off of her plants,
right?
And hiring the spider might not have been such a bad idea.
No, I that is probably the only good use of a spider I've ever heard. But I just don't buy it, that in general it's a good idea to let them roam, because when we lived in St. Pete, my son would get eat up with spider bites, and we didn't know what to do. And I'm like, his bed is near a window. So we rearranged his room, moved his bed away from the window, and the spider bites stopped.
Oh, they were coming in his window,
climbing on him and biting him
in
his sleep. And so I don't have a high opinion of spiders.
I don't blame you.
I would chase them with a bat. They're heinous. Yeah. They're heinous is what they are.
Miscreant spiders. And when they have fur on them, then you know they got to go.
Dude. Yeah. when arachnophobia. Do you remember seeing that in the theaters?
I saw that in the theater. Yeah. Yeah.
And that
in St. Mary's,
that spider crawls up that dude's neck. I was like, you know, just scraping my own body with my fingernails. It was terrible. So
that had John Goodman in it. Before I knew who John Goodman was.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Probably. Yeah. Probably the first time a lot of us saw him.
I didn't watch.
Because I didn't watch Roseanne. So. Yeah. It was above my head.
Why would I watch a TV show about somebody named Roseanne? Teenager.
It reminded me too much of my mom. Like, she was like my mom. I don't want to watch a show about people hardly moving around the house. You know,
and she's always complaining. What do you want?
It just reminded me of a slightly white trash upbringing that I had, so I didn't need to relive that. I never had the desire. So, anyway, what did you think about my trampoline park review story?
That was really good. And gross. Like, that was a really nice thing to say about such a gross.
It was nasty. Because if you go there, and it's called Urban Air.
Oh, yeah, we had one of those.
It's
here
in North Carolina. It's outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. And it is obviously, you know, independently owned and operated. But this one is gross. And other people wrote that it's super gross, too.
You took the kids there. Did your stinky nephew mind it?
He didn't care a bit. He probably crapped it up for everybody else, actually.
Oh man. I don't know. So I haven't been in our Urban Air in a long time. I think the last time I took James had a birthday party there when he was 11.
Yeah.
So it's been that long ago.
I think it's the crappiest name.
It is kind of like,
what's urban about that place? Mean?
And it's like,
it's cultural appropriation. Yeah. There's nothing urban about it. Yeah, it's suburban air is what it is.
Suburban air. Yeah. We used to have two trampoline parks here. One of them was called, I can't remember. They built it in the old Best Buy.
Mm.
No, it wasn't a Best Buy. It was, what was the one that closed down? Circuit City. It was a Circuit City.
Okay.
And they turned it into this air place. It's actually featured in one of those movies. They filmed part of it there.
What movie?
The Bad Moms. Was it called Bad Moms?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Okay. I don't know. Anyways, some trampoline place. It probably has air in the name somewhere. Air Zone or whatever.
Those places are a scam because you can't even jump there unless you pay a buttload of money.
Yeah.
And you only get like an hour, and they make you buy their socks.
Right. You can't go. Yeah. Because it's an insurance liability. If you jump in somebody else's socks, so you could break your ankle.
Oh, is that the reason? Because I was like,
oh, I'm sure
they could have sold me on the sanity. What do you call it? The sanitization of it. But, but the cousins that I took had pairs that they had owned for years, and them socks was looking holy, if you know what I mean. But they legally passed inspection, so, and they were ugly as sin. I don't know.
Mm.
But, trampoline parks. I didn't jump. I could have. I did it as a fat man. I just didn't do it as a skinny man. I had no desire. A dad chases a boy off with a baseball bat. I'm 150% behind that.
Yeah. Yeah. So when I first saw that title, I was like, did he chase him? Did the boy have the baseball bat and he just chased the boy away? Or did he chase the boy away that was outside of his house?
Yeah, it's not clear. It's not clear.
It's perfect. I was excited to get into that story because.
Good deal. Well,
yeah, it was good.
In the song, I kind of hinted at it, but I saw a video the other day of this little girl in a Walmart. She was by herself, unsupervised, and somebody came up and tried to ask her, you know, some employee, ask her where her mother was, and the girl starts grabbing things off the shelves and throwing them on the ground, knocking over displays, throwing stuff. Mm. And there's this group of people that kind of surrounds them, and half of them are like, stop her. And then some other lady's like, she might be a future president. Don't harm her, you know? And it's like, is this what we've come to? I don't want her to be president. She's insane and very misbehaved. And her parents don't give a crap about her. So, yeah, she's the last on my voter card, you know? I wouldn't even write her in. So, but is this where we've come to, that we can't, you know, correct a child that we see that's in bad shape, that's doing bad things?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't see how that would be, you know, trying to talk a kid out of bad behavior. I don't see how that's a bad thing.
Well, let me put it this way. Don't, if a teenager was doing it, would you have the right as an employee to restrain them and hold them for the police? I think so. So why wouldn't you an 8-year-old?
Yeah, exactly.
In children's ministry, I restrained many a child. And I learned how to do it properly and legally, because there were kids that were flight risks. And I didn't let anybody do it but me. Mm. I would give somebody the stage and I would go sit for an hour and a half with a kid that was trying like crazy, because I didn't want anybody else to get bruised. I didn't want anybody else to get cussed at. I didn't want anybody else to take the blame. Mm. So I was the designated restrainer. Dude, I got kicked. I would get punched. I'd get cussed out. Just, you know, certain kids, man, they just either off their meds or had too much or just had
just
a bad day.
Good spanking.
Well, a lot of the kids I'm describing were special needs kids, and they.
Oh, yeah.
No, if they had been actually bad, that bad, I probably would have whooped them myself and gone to jail. So, no, I just had a few kids that just needed extra love because they couldn't help it. They couldn't stop it. And they would eventually, and they would apologize and all this stuff. But yeah. And I always took it because I'm like, their parents and their grandparents need this time in church. So,
excuse me.
So Alex's ancestors helped swallow a southern city. How'd you like to know about that?
So first of all, that's amazing. Right? I know who it was. And I could envision all of that because, you know, where I live, where you live down in Macon, it's covered.
Yeah.
All over. I don't remember us having kudzu down in St. Mary's.
No.
In the,
but
that part,
between but. St. Mary's and my mom's upbringing place, there would be many a roadside sign that was just overtaken by kudzu.
In houses, that old abandoned houses that you would see once a year in the fall, in the winter.
Yeah. It just, it was brought here. And it was supposed to be this crop that would grow on the side of hills. Mm-hmm. It was also after a Dust Bowl kind of situation in Georgia in the 1930s. Mm. And it took off and everybody planted it. And God knows, they found out
it didn't
that
stop.
It was wrong. And in 1938 is when his family moved out of the city that they had brought the seeds to. So, yeah, a good 8 years later, they found out it wasn't a good idea.
So. You see, that's the thing about stuff. Unless you've tested it and seen how it works and behaves, you don't really want to promote it. That's why I didn't take the vaccine, because I came out with that thing in a matter of months.
Right. No, I gotcha. No, if I hadn't been raised in the city, you know, at the time, if I wasn't living in the city, I probably wouldn't have got it either. But I was just like, whatever I can do to help the people that are dying all around me, because we were seeing it, you know, we were seeing old people and people with compromised health dying. It was happening here in St. Louis. And so I wanted to be part of the solution. But yeah, in a rural area, it was not nearly as necessary or popular. So
not to get political or anything like that, but the two people that I personally knew that passed away from COVID did it after they got the vaccine. So I was like, I'm getting that.
Right. Anyway, A teacher gets asked if she's a Karen. That was pretty slick. Those middle schoolers thought they were going to sneak something in.
You know what a Karen is? Because they are Karen.
No, I don't. Well, you're a Karen. You know, no. It just doesn't
Mrs.
work.
Mrs. K.
Mrs. K. Well, they couldn't even say Karen because they would have started giggling.
Do you? I've done that before. And I know
you call a woman a Karen?
No.
Oh.
I've asked people, I was in those middle schoolers' boys' shoes before, not with the Karen thing, but I've asked them, and I know that embarrassment of like when they're like, oh, yo, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Can you spell I cup? And they're like, no, I-C-U-P. And you're like, oh, crap.
Oh.
Feels so stupid.
Yeah, it's like when you... Now, like nowadays, it's gone full circle, and the kids are asking me about, you know, mewing and skibbity toilet, and I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. They're like, "What? You're hip? You know stuff?" Mm-hmm. And then it makes them feel real awkward.
I had to teach my 60-year-old son how to write a signature. He had to sign some stuff. And he's like, I don't want to sign it like a kid. And I'm like, well, sign it in cursive. Or his mom was like, do it in cursive. I don't write in cursive. And I'm like,
that's right. They don't teach that anymore.
Well, they did, but they, you know, they don't make them use it. And at his school they did. But anyway.
Yeah, no.
Private school. Yeah.
No, my private school doesn't teach it anymore.
Oh, really?
They don't teach cursive anymore. Yeah.
Well, anyway, I told him I don't write my signature in cursive. I write it like this. And I showed him. And he's like, okay, well, I'm going to do this. And he did his. And I'm like, that looks fine, but can you do it again? And he's like, you have to be able to do it more. I'm like, yes, it has to look similar.
Just wait till you buy anything big.
You're about 2 years from this thing being legally binding. You need to kind of get this thing out. And so he filled a page with signatures until he got one he kind of liked. And I'm just going to say it. There's a lot more N's. There's a lot of N's in Kinnison. There's three.
Wow, yeah.
But there's more N's in his signature than there are in Kinnison. It's like his name is James
Kinnison. Yeah, you could make a song out of your last name.
Dude, speaking of songs, I'm writing a script for a video at work about squeegees.
Squeegee song.
I'm doing it's not a song, it's a rap. It's a kind of a recap song inspired rap that I'm doing because I'm trying to make squeegees exciting. But my whole premise to the video is squeegees are very necessary. They're the most necessary part of screen printing, but they are easily the most boring thing to do a video about. So
that's a good point. I can't print with.
Yeah. I did a rabbit hole deep dive on squeegees and I have all this information and details and, you know, the usage of them. I now know how they're measured, the durometers of the measurement of the plastic, of the blades and all this kind of stuff. And I mentioned as one of the facts, I say, matter of fact, the only word that rhymes with squeegee is Fiji. And I said, I'm just kidding. Luigi asked Dee Dee if she would like to see a 3D PGET movie. And it just goes on from there. But he insists that she wore a skimpy bikini. He's so greasy, I want to pull a Houdini and ask a genie to throw him into a ball like graffiti. So anyway, so
give him a wedgie.
Wedgie doesn't rhyme.
Oh.
Sorry. It's fine. Once he's slammed into a wall, he can't have a wedgie. But anyway.
Squeegee. Now I got a question though. Yeah. You brought it up. And I'm sorry to interrupt, but why do they call them squeegees? I mean, where did it get
Okay, so you're going to ask. I did find out. Apparently, there's this old word called squeege, and to squeege is to use pressure to remove water from the deck of a ship.
Squeege the deck, I say.
So a squeege became a squeegee. To squeege something required a squeegee. And I looked up plural. What's plural for squeegee? I was hoping for something good. But you know what the plural of squeegee is? Squeegees.
Squeegee.
Yeah.
It's like the plural of geese. I mean,
goose. No. Gooses have got geese, but squeegee is just squeegees. I was hoping for a squeegee. Maybe a squeegee or something stupid, but no. And you know what? I even looked up, what do we say in other languages about squeegees? You know what they say? Squeegee.
A squeegee.
Matter of fact, the only interesting thing I found about squeegees is that there is a squeegee on display in the Smithsonian Institution because a guy used one to wedge open a 9/11 fallen freaking elevator, and he saved himself and six people with a squeegee. And then I read that he was a window washer, and it wasn't the right kind of squeegee.
Oh,
it was a pole. It was a squeegee with a pole, and that's why he got out.
Squeegee.
And so there's no squeegee in this stinking Smithsonian. So till then, we have to be proud of the squeegee that has done its work. Until a squeegee saves a presidential baby, we're gonna have to be satisfied with the accomplishments of other squeegees. So that's like straight from the script, again. By the way. It's from my memory of the script that I wrote about squeegees.
I look forward to seeing the video.
I did one on tape dispensers that you might like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna Google them right now.
Let's do a share and maybe it'll play. The audio will play. Let's do it.
Okay.
Hold on. That way we can enjoy it as a family.
Okay. Right.
So
as a fam.
Share
what's
screen.
The name of the company again?
I can't say it.
Oh, right. So you're gonna pull this video.
I'm gonna pull it up.
Yeah. And this is what you become a patron for.
That's right.
Hi there, this is James Kennison representing, and today we are gonna be reviewing tape dispensers. That's right, tape dispensers. I drew the short straw. I do hope that I can hold your attention till the very end, because I've got a surprise for you. It's a good one. It's a good surprise. Do you like blue? I hope so, because our basic tape dispenser comes in that color. Solid metal. It has a plastic spool, and it can fit up to a 4-inch tape. It's particularly good if you have two types of tape that you would like on the same spool. Well, now I'd like to show you the Cybertruck. That's pretty polarizing. We'll call it the DeLorean of tape dispensers. Guys and girls, made out of stainless steel, this is our Pro tape dispenser. What makes this one special? It has an adjustable spindle right here in the spool so that you can fine tune your tape dispensing. It'll accommodate up to 4 inches split tape or all adhesive tape. It's absolutely indispensable. The thing I love about both of these is they can be mounted to the table. They come with screws and pre-drilled holes. But if you don't have a designated area to tape your screens, you can also place it up against the screen, between you and the screen, and tape very easily. It's available today at .com. I'm James Kennison, representing. Thanks for watching to the end. I told you I had something special for you, and it's this, the logo made out of masking tape. I made this for you so you would buy a tape dispenser. So head over to .com and pick up one today.
Can't just make a video.
You got to make tape great again. I'm clicking that out.
All right. Well,
that was amazing.
Thank you. And I hope we sell some tape dispensers. Anyway, John, thanks for hanging out with me today and doing some podcasting and stuff. It's really fun. And I'll see everyone next week. We'll be doing a show.
And I won't be here.
Oh, that's right. We'll have a guest. And then the week after that is the Bikes theme show. And then we're bumping into Christmas there after that. Oh, so it's just a roller coaster ride. Thanks, John. You're awesome. See you later, guys.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.